Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Good Friday morning to everybody out there. You're listening to the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal. That's me, Eric Ainge, back. Only missed one day. No big deal.
Just like flexed on.
No big deal. Yeah, I don't have the flu. My kids, however, have the flu.
Yeah,
and strep.
So you're again?
Yeah. Ooh. Every year, man. Everybody we know. There's not one kid that we know.
Yeah.
That has not gotten the flu.
Ugh. So
it's brutal, man. My kids are quarantined.
Yeah. So you're like the guy that when your kids get sick, you start to feel the tickle, and you're like, "Oh my God, I'm sick too. I shouldn't come to work."
No, I mean, I really was sick. I just got the test. I didn't have the flu. I had a fever. I just didn't have the flu.
Yeah. It's fine to be that. It's a little bit of a mental game.
No, I didn't have the mental game.
Everybody's going to think legitimate. That they have the.
I was legitimately sick. I don't have the flu though.
Did you see what happened to Garth Brooks in Detroit last night?
I have to be sick to take a day off of work.
That's true. Yeah, you were. You didn't sound great yesterday. Did you hear what happened to Garth Brooks in Detroit last night? We have to lead with this.
I did not, no.
Garth Brooks wore a Barry Sanders jersey on stage because he's in Detroit. And he's the greatest athlete in Detroit.
Agreed.
Non-basketball history.
That's the jersey you pick.
Twitter went crazy because they thought he was wearing a jersey in support of Bernie Sanders. The mentions of Garth Brooks on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Why? Because it's a blue number 20 jersey?
Because it says Sanders on the back. It says Sanders 20.
It's a Barry Sanders jersey.
Well, when did you...
Yeah, you're going to have to turn me down because I'm going to be yelling here.
When was the last time that politics, Twitter went... And did a little research before getting mad at something.
I'm sorry.
So he's wearing his Barry Sanders number 20 jersey, which everybody that's watched the NFL in the last 40 years should know.
On both sides, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Crazy on... Garth Brooks, of all people, is not going to wear a Bernie Sanders... Let's just put that out there.
Garth Brooks is voting for Donald Trump.
And
don't get it twisted.
Spoiler alert, even if he wasn't, he knows his audience and he wouldn't tell you that he wasn't. So he's wearing a Barry Sanders number 20 jersey, and some of the comments are amazing.
Shameful. Shameful. We've reached a point in our world where... politics are so volatile and angry and sad that you can't even wear a jersey with someone running for president's name on it. There's never been a famous athlete with Trump.
No.
Right? I mean, we can agree with
no,
that.
No, there's never been a famous athlete whose last name was Trump.
Trump. No. You know, Sanders is very generic.
Very common.
Very common.
And also the greatest running back
Jones.
In the history of the NFL.
Yeah. Jones.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, I mean.
Did you see the one comment where somebody tried to clarify the situation, but he kind of screwed it up because he said, no, I think that's a Barry Sanders jersey. He was a big time player for the Detroit Tigers back in the 90s.
Oh,
and
no.
Then everybody got mad at that guy for getting the team wrong.
Oh,
I don't even know. I don't even know what to do.
Hello, America. Let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42sd.com today.
You got to lead with that.
Yeah, you,
Sheriff. Yeah. The sheriff.
Sheriff's glad to have you back.
Missed you on the radio yesterday, Ainge. Glad to have you back.
Not the Peyton Manning sheriff, but the actual sheriff,
Tom Spangler, the goat.
Juwan Jennings ran a 4.740 at the combine last night.
We're going to talk about this. Okay. The combine was. I had a lot of time
yeah.
to just sit around. And I always do. It's like something happens to me in my personal life, whether it be family, kids, my own health, something. When the combine is on TV, dating all the way back to my early 20s,
yeah.
mid, late February is not a good time for me because yeah. I always end up with ample opportunity to sit and lay around and watch the combine. And I love it.
Dominic Wood Anderson also ran a slower time. Marquez Callaway was not as fast as we were expecting him to be. Those guys will have a chance to run again at Tennessee's pro day as well. But
so I did not. I know Juwan Jennings ran a 4.7. Mm-hmm. I have not seen what Callaway or Dominic Wood Anderson ran their 40s at. Are we opening with this?
Yeah, we'll
okay,
open with this.
I'm going to make sure I won't look at my computer or anything. I want to guess what those guys ran because I want to. It'll be based on what I think they should run.
Yeah. We spent almost an hour yesterday talking about Tom Brady, and that was because the report just before the show came out that
he's not going to play in New England.
Well, his representatives first was on ESPN yesterday morning that. He would be stunned if Tom Brady went back to New England. Then the report came out a little after that his representatives have not even heard from or met with the New England Patriots. And then yesterday afternoon, a report comes out that his representation has, in fact, met with the Chargers, Raiders, and Colts. So it seems to be trending away. Now, a lot of people think the Titans are the most likely landing spot if he doesn't go to New England. But I think it's interesting that the Titans are not on the list of who his representatives have reportedly met with.
If Mike Vrabel wasn't the head coach for the Titans, I don't think they'd be on the radar.
See, I do because I think they have the talent. I think somebody like Tom Brady who wants to win sees the offensive weapons there and says, well, that's an offense that's clearly better than the one I'm leaving. You know, if you go down every position, skill position-wise, you could make an argument that who the Titans have starting at that position is better than who the Patriots did last year, except for quarterback. Now, you can make arguments on some of the offensive linemen. You can make an argument whether you think Edelman's better than the two receiver for the Titans, but it's close in those positions. And I think that's where I don't know if he's going to play in Nashville. I think it would be huge for that franchise if he did. Regardless, we'll get into that and who he has
met. I would get great joy out of sitting around and choosing not to listen to the broadcast of a Titans game on television and listen to Mike Keith call Tom Brady games in Nashville. I would actually just sit around and do that.
Mike Keith deserves that. Gets to call Tom Brady
games. I think he does.
Nebraska, USC, Miami, and Florida State. What do they all have in common? They've fallen on tough times. There was a question posed in...
We're not getting thrown in there?
No.
We've already been there for a while.
Yeah. Out of those... And I think Tennessee's also on its way back.
I agree.
Those four teams are, I think, a little earlier in their rebuild processes. It was thrown out in Stuart Mandel's mailbag column on The Athletic. He was asked which of those teams is most likely to be a playoff team first or in the playoff hunt first. I want to ask you that because I think it's an interesting topic. Each of those four has their challenges. Each of those four has their positives. We'll talk about that. An Alabama player is in the transfer portal for the not first, not second, but third time.
At some point when Taylor Swift can't keep a boyfriend, you got to start looking at the, you know, as pretty and talented and rich as she is, at some point you got to start looking at that and saying, there's only one common denominator.
The only common denominator in all your failed relationships is you.
So, this guy, Scooby, buddy, at some point.
Jerry Jones, speaking of buddy, gave a wide-ranging interview at the Combine yesterday in which he said, among other things we will discuss, quote, I've thought a lot about it in the shower, unquote. Who did that refer to? What did that refer to? Who did that refer to? We'll tell you coming up. We'll have the return of Would You Rather at 11 o'clock. Weekend preview in Tennessee, Florida basketball preview for tomorrow as well. All of that and more on an action-packed episode of The Eric Haines Show. And that's the game plan. It's laid out for you by 42nd Street.
42SD.com for everything digital for your business. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be getting more reviews. It could be a brand new website, a rebrand. Rebrand has a negative connotation to a lot of business owners because it implies that you aren't currently doing something right. It's just a way to make sure you capture the next generation of customers coming through, wanting to get a piece of your business and make sure that you get those people in and, you know, you get your customers' kids and then their kids and then their kids, et cetera. Again, it's 42SD.com.
The Eric Ainge Show rolls on next. We're coming to you live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, where right now they will triple the factory rebates on all new Kias. They're, of course, the home of the 200,000-mile warranty. You know that. We're right here at Callahan Drive, I-75, right across from the massive UPS plant. Come see us. We're on the top of the hill on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, I-75 and Callahan Drive, right there across from the UPS. It's where we're at today, Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. Right now, they're going to triple the factory rebate on all new Kias that they have here at Rusty Wallace Kia. Brian Rice, the NFL Combine is going on.
Yeah, let's start with Juwan Jennings. Ran a 4.7 40 last night. I don't think it was unexpected based on what we thought he would run.
No.
And that's why I was a little surprised at the response.
I kind of hoped he would run a 4.69
mm-hmm.
or 4.6 anything. If you can run in the 4.6s, then they assume you're fast. But this is important to note, though. You don't have to run 4.4 to play receiver in the NFL unless you're playing outside.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing outside, you're playing against everybody that runs is that fast. So you won't ever separate from anybody. And Juwan may have a hard time separating against man-to-man, potentially.
His catch and traffic rating would be 99 on Madden.
Right? His catch and traffic, yes. And his ability to break tackles is off the charts. Juwan, when they go back and watch the film, they will see, they'll go, okay, that's why he's 4.7, but he's 4.7 and guys are bouncing off of him.
Well, I think he had to go to the combine, and he had to run, he had to do all that. I think the scouts that whose voices in the room matter when you're putting together the draft board for days 2 and 3 got everything they needed at the Senior Bowl. Between the interviews, and I'm sure there was, he will help himself with the interviews at the combine. But from a on-field performance standpoint, I think the Senior Bowl was his proving ground.
He just doesn't. Some guys do better in shorts and sweatshirts, running around, and some guys do better with pads and helmets on. And Juwan is a better football player than he is a grass track athlete.
Yeah.
So. Guys like that, you don't see a guy. Now, if he went out there and ran a 4.5.1, then he'd be talking about maybe being a second or a third round draft pick.
Yeah.
He ran a 4.7.3, he'll probably be in that third to fifth or sixth range.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It kind of is what it is. He'll go somewhere and he'll make the team. I guarantee, this is the guarantee I would make with Juwan.
Okay.
Wherever he gets drafted, mm-hmm. he will make that roster.
I would agree.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, does he get as much money up front? No. But he'll get the same rookie deal that all the guys get.
It was a mixed result for Dominic Wood Anderson.
I think Wood Anderson would run, if I were like a good time for him, what I would expect him to run would mm-hmm. be right about where Jennings was at, right about a 4.73.
Dom Wood Anderson ran a 4.92.
That's slow for him.
Now, the positive was he was the fifth-rated tight end in the vertical jump at 35 inches. Only four guys were better than him. But so time is going to need to improve
the
by the 40, time.
The 40 time will kill him on as far as getting drafted. I mean, if you there's tight ends. I mean, I bet if you went through and looked at all the tight ends that ran, I mean, how many of them were there that ran under 4.8? A lot.
Yeah.
I'll bet there were a lot. You know, and then there's tight ends that they're like that wide receiver from Notre Dame that they're saying basically is a tight end.
Yeah.
You know, he ran a 4.4 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Dominique Wood Anderson might have really hurt himself running a 4.9. That would I would even have a hard time. I'd sit there and I'd go, he's a really good blocker. But at 4.9, he needs to put on 15 more pounds and he needs to just become a blocking tight end. Because you're not separating from anybody at 4.9. There's not a linebacker starting in the NFL that runs a 4.9.
The fastest time for tight ends was Henry Ruggs III at Alabama.
No, that's a wide receiver.
Oh, wide receiver. See, I'm on tight ends, and it's not getting them off anyway.
It's all good. Normally, I think if you first-round draft pick tight ends, usually end up running in the 4.4 or 4.5 range. Some run in the 4.6 range if they're bigger and they're a three-down tight end. No one runs in the 4.9 range. That's not good for him. That one hurts. What about Callaway?
Callaway was 4.55.
That's good because that's what I was going to say. He ought to be in the 4.5. If he doesn't run a 4.5, then that's – I wouldn't say that that's slow for him, though. I mean, he's 6'3", isn't he?
Yeah.
6'3", 6'4". I mean, he's a big guy.
I finally have just the tight ends in there 40 times. Albert Aguma Gumo
Alberto from Missouri.
Missouri's tight end 4.49.
Yeah, he just made himself a first round draft pick.
Yeah. Bryson Hopkins of Purdue a 4.66, Stephen Sullivan from LSU is a 4.66, and then Cole Kmet from Notre Dame 4.7.
Yeah. I mean, you're
Yeah, Dom Wood Anderson was not in the top 10 of times.
Yeah.
Among tight ends.
No, that's not good. Not good for him.
No. So.
Jennings running a 4.73 is right about what I thought he would run. Callaway running a 4.55 is right about what I thought he would run. Wood Anderson is definitely slower. He should have been a 4.7 something.
Callaway was faster than Kalijah Lipscomb from Vanderbilt, so you at least have that. He was in the top 20.
4.55 is fine. If you can run 4.5, then you're saying that you're fast enough. Because Marquez Callaway, when you watch his film, he doesn't often separate on the field very much. And at 4.55, that would make sense. But his ability to high point the football and his ability to catch the ball in traffic and all that kind of stuff, and that'll get him drafted. 4.55 for him, he'll end up being called on draft day sometime. Callaway and Jennings both will.
Wood Anderson
needs to – that's
– his vertical jump was top 10 overall, 38 inches. Wow. Now,
see, that's a good workout for him, man.
Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan, 44.5 inches.
Whoa.
Yeah. Henry Ruggs, a 42. Other guys you've heard of.
So Ruggs ran – what did Ruggs run 40-wise? Because they were talking about him like he might break the combine record.
Yeah, 4.27. Yeah.
Joel, is that the combine – that's just above it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just above it. But he was 4.27 in the 40.
Man.
42-inch vertical jump, 131-inch broad jump.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's a freak.
The NFL doesn't work out. You go train for the Olympics.
This is serious.
I'm not joking.
He really probably could.
If he tried for the long jump with those physical skills, you give him 6 months, I guarantee he's in the discussion for the U.S. team.
Yeah, probably. This wide receiver class for the combine, that's the thing that's going to hurt Jennings and Callaway both the most is that there's 10 guys that are going to get drafted before they're even in the conversation of could we take this guy over that guy.
Well, I mean, even among SEC players, obviously Henry Ruggs is
Bama's
at the top
got
of the list.
LSU's
I mean,
got
you got
one.
Tyree Cleveland. You got Justin Jefferson from LSU. Cleveland's from Florida. Freddie Swain from Florida had a 36.5-inch vertical and was competitive with his 40 time as well. It's a competitive class.
Yeah, I mean, you got the kid from Oklahoma who's just ridiculous. You got three or four guys from the SEC that are probably right up there. I mean, there's six guys that could get picked in the first round or the first round and a half.
Yeah.
which is just incredible. I mean, it really is.
Check out the total workout for Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan. Mentioned the led the vertical jump at 44.5. Broad jump was 139 even, and his 40-yard dash was 4.48.
Wow.
He's a complete package as well. How did Michigan not win more football games? We'll come back 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Cain Show, broadcasting live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. It's FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Cain Show on this better than it was supposed to be Friday, Brian.
Yeah, I think
you
it's
guys
gonna...
can't. You guys can't play softball today.
Apparently not.
You can't play.
Supposed to be up at ETSU today. That tournament's been moved Saturday, Sunday, and now Monday.
Up in the Tri Cities.
Yeah. Although
love me some Tri Cities, Brian Rice.
Say hi to all the people up there. But we'll be up there tomorrow. A couple games tomorrow. A couple games Sunday, and then scheduled one on Monday. So I won't be here on Monday. But forecast for Monday, spoiler alert, does not look great. So see if we get that one in or not.
I'm just trying to survive at my house right now. Can you imagine? Listen, I get to leave and come talk sports and hang out with Joe and all the good stuff that is Rusty Wallace Kia and the Eric Cain Show. Can you imagine my wife? When she woke up today, the baby was already awake.
Yeah.
Talking in her crib. She just talks. She's like me. She just never stops talking.
Yeah.
And both of the kids are upstairs in their rooms with the flu and strep.
Yeah, that's a hard, hard pass for
and
me.
And both were crying.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God. I stayed as long as I could. That's why I got here, like, 5 minutes before the show started.
Yeah.
I had to help. I think I've spent $30 in the last 2 days on Amazon movie rentals.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say on cold medication at the Walgreens.
So we spend more than that.
You'll be... You're also on some sort of list now.
We spent more than that.
Do you have to?
No, you have to get. So with strep, you have to take antibiotics.
Yeah.
So they have to take their 7.5 milliliters of whatever that chalky nasty stuff is for every 12 hours. But for the flu, there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can take the Tamiflu if you catch it fast enough.
Yeah, but.
But by the time we went in there, because we're the rub some dirt on it parents.
Yeah.
So by the but in the case of the flu, which seems to be an annual thing now in East Tennessee for every child, and it's just, I hope I don't have it. I wouldn't get too close to
no,
me.
No, I'm
I
mean, not. I'm still
technically in the incubation period. So
I'm not touching any of your stuff, and I'm not getting too close. But
I'm drinking a Pepsi, so you wouldn't touch it anyway.
That's also true. Joe's got Lysol, so I'm just gonna spray it.
Here,
at
let me close
just
my
gonna
my
spray
Ritz,
it
let
at
me
you.
Close my Ritz chips, and you come soak me down.
All right. The combine continues. Daniel Batuli and Darrell Taylor will be working out here today. The bench press day is today.
Yeah, I mean bench press. So here's where the combine comes in. For anyone listening, you know, because we talk about times, and I swear, you know, half the people listening probably are like, well, is that good?
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, it's hard to keep up with all of it, even for us. The combine is used for interviews first and foremost.
Yeah.
It's used for physicals first and foremost, and anything that you have. Like, when I had my shoulder problems that I had had, my physical broken hand that I was still taping to throw, and all the issues that I had, stress fractures chronically and in my report through college, you know? Yeah. So it was like I spent more time in the MRI and the bone scan and the this scan and this weird contraption. I don't even know who even knows what this actually does.
Yeah.
Than anybody there. I won. That was the only record that I set my year at the combine was most time
MRIs.
In medical. Yeah. But that's what it's used for. It's to drug test all the kids coming in.
Yeah.
You know, this is the job interview of all job interviews. It's a 3 or 4 day job interview where every prospective boss is coming to check on you. So guess what? If you fail the drug test for that,
You're not getting drafted because you're stupid, not because you failed the drug test.
Or you have a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're either an idiot and you smoked some pot or something before you went to go take a drug test. Now, in the new CBA, that wouldn't matter. In the new CBA, that wouldn't matter. Like, in the NBA, it doesn't. And, like, in Major League Baseball, it doesn't.
The NFL
is going to move on. Going to move on from hammering guys for that. But any of the other stuff that shows up, if it shows up, you probably got a problem, dude.
Yes,
and
yes,
they need to know that.
Yeah.
Hence why I got drafted in the fifth round. I was after my Senior Bowl, pre-Senior Bowl, postseason, like right after the bowl game. I was anywhere from the third to fifth or sixth quarterback drafted, second to third round, maybe out of that, but probably a second or third rounder.
Yeah.
On every list of every McShay person that you could find. After the Senior Bowl, it was more like third to fifth round. After the Combine, it was like, he's got a problem.
Yeah.
Something's going on with him.
Yeah.
Do we draft him at all? And the only reason I got drafted by the Jets was because they had no need for me immediately, and they saw that they could get a guy they had graded as a second-round quarterback was still there in the fifth round. And so at that point, I mean, what real risk do you have?
Right.
You know, you have multiple picks at the end of a draft. I was no risk to them.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I got drafted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because like that's what you have to know about guys. I guarantee there's 360 guys there.
Yeah.
I promise you there are guys that have problems from playing college football that are going to go with them to the pros, and and they're living it right now.
And the teams are hoping that they
need to identify them. Yeah, because problems. Well, and it's one thing if you're a third to seventh rounder.
Yeah.
But God forbid you're a first rounder.
Yeah.
Or a second rounder, and they're talking about their employment, future employment, by not having, quote, draft busts.
Yeah.
You have to know these kind of things. You have to know, like, this is why it's so funny to me. Like, it's crazy. Like, when Jamarcus Russell gets drafted first overall, everybody at that draft knew that he had work ethic problems.
Yeah.
But one team got so obsessed with his ability to throw and spin a football. He was the first pick. You remember that? He was the first pick of the draft.
It's like people that chase toxic partners. They think they can fix them. General managers and coaches,
yes, that is
are
so
worse
true,
than anything else at thinking they can fix people.
All they need is me in their life.
Yeah, no.
No, yeah.
Not most of the time.
They already had a lot of great people, you know, leading up to it. It's not, you're not going to fix that.
Yeah.
That's why the combine questions and interviews, there's always some every year that happen. Like, remember when they asked Dez Bryant if his mom was a prostitute?
Yeah.
They asked him that legitimately. Like, they weren't, like, joking. They had a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And a psychologist ask him these questions because they wanted to see how much of a hothead he really was. So what do? You attack someone's mom.
Yeah.
And they wanted to see if he could, like, hold it in.
Yeah. Knowing that it was a job interview and it was a big situation.
And that he, exactly. They try to create these tough scenarios. But the draft is a tricky thing because by the time you get done with this combine, Brian, too many of the GMs that aren't good at their jobs put way too much weight on all the stuff that's happened since they stopped playing.
Yeah.
That's like Joe Burrow could go from being unanimous, the number one pick in the draft. If he didn't handle his business right post-draft, he could drop. Maybe he should have. He wouldn't be a Bengal.
I still think he, like, did the craw for his hand measurements, so maybe the Bengals can get
put
mad.
On some sort of shrink glue on his hand to keep him all. Anyway.
Be like O.J. Simpson, not take his medication before he has to try on the glove.
It's interesting, but it's used for these guys have to ask. These guys have to ask a question about Juwan Jennings, about him getting kicked off the team.
Yeah,
they need to find out that. Dude, yeah. I had one team when I went through it that knew that I had some sort of a mental health problem.
Yeah.
They had psychiatrists that watched and followed because they had me pegged as a second-round draft pick.
Yeah.
And they were going to know everything about that person if possible. And they went back to when I bleached my hair in college. And I made the mistake of being really honest with them.
Yeah.
And they found they knew that I was bipolar before anybody else ever did, because they went, this guy, he was obviously going through a really hard time, and he was depressed and all this other stuff, and his decisions followed. Like, for normal kids that don't have, like, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? But, like, they identified it, and guess who got wiped off their board real fast?
Yeah.
Nope. I'm a good example.
Lot of things are equal for quarterbacks beyond the best five.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's the same thing for every position.
If you're going to draft Jake Fromm or Jacob Eason,
yeah.
Okay, those two guys. We'll have that talk. Who would you draft, Jake Fromm or Jacob Eason?
Oh, we'll tell you that coming up.
Which Georgia quarterback?
9900 if you want to join us as well. Tennessee players reacted to Juwan Jennings' performance last night. We'll tell you what one of his teammates said, because I think you'll find it interesting. That's next. We're live at Rusty Wallace Key of Knoxville on The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. It's a Foo Friday on the EA Show.
Glorious, glorious Foo Friday.
It is a glorious Foo Friday.
It's what
is
this? Snowing.
What, that's not snow.
It's snowing.
I guess in East Tennessee we have to call that snow, don't we? Because we get such a small amount of it every year.
Well, I mean, it is technically snow that's falling from the sky. It's not sticking.
Those aren't cats and dogs.
No. Could be cat litter. Could be coal ash. We're not too far from Oak Ridge.
Well, that happened to me several times growing up as a kid.
Coal ash? Or?
Yeah. Volcanoes would erupt.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
And they had little ones. But apparently when Mount St. Helens erupted, I guess that was in the 80s, I think.
It's a huge...
My parents had inches of ash on their... Like, it just covered everything.
All right, you posed the question before the break as we're here at Rusty Wallace, Key of Knoxville. Jake Fromm or Eason?
Whew. I don't know, man. What do you think?
There were a lot of people at Georgia that felt like it was a mistake to let Eason go and, frankly, to treat him the way that they treated him the year that he got hurt and lost his job to Fromm. And I think the fact that Fromm... I mean, we could debate it all day, but... I don't know that Fromm got noticeably better from his freshman year to his junior year. I think he was very much the same player. Some things improved a little bit, but he did not make the jump that I expected.
No, and Fromm this year, I think not having Chaney hurt him.
Yeah.
I think not having Chaney hurt him. I think that there's some different things that he does better than Eason. And there's some things that he doesn't do as well as Eason.
You're building a franchise. Who are you picking?
I'm picking Fromm. Oh, that's hard. Here's why.
Yeah.
Fromm was able to win a job when – I mean, you just say what you have a person at Georgia. I mean, that's good information, man.
Yeah,
that's
that they felt like – when Jacob Eason,
you know a person that works over in their athletic department.
Yeah, several. That work in their football office. That they felt like Jacob Eason didn't handle it well when there was competition. But they didn't put it all on him because he was told he was the guy. I mean, he was a freshman starter in the SEC. And then they bring in Fromm and... they tell him it's not a competition, you're our guy, but then they very much treated it as a competition. And he didn't handle it well. And he pressed and he pressed and he pressed, and then he got hurt. And then when he got hurt, they didn't give him a chance to win his job back. And a lot of people there felt like that was a mistake. Because with another good season, if he had come back, he could have been a draft pick, Fromm could have redshirted, and then they would have had the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
They didn't. They let him walk. And a lot of people there still feel like it was the mistake to let him walk. And I don't know that I disagree.
I think that if I were, if I had to pick one, I would pick Fromm because of that.
It's true. It was three years ago, but true.
I would, you know, and then you got, you know, Eason transfers and has to sit out a year, and then plays pretty well at Washington. The fact that Fromm though was 35-7 as a starter at Georgia in the current state of the SEC, that to me, that can't go unnoticed. You know, I think that to the combine in general does a bad job of remembering what these guys did on the field and spending most of their time going through that, like looking at the things that they actually did well on the field. And Fromm is super accurate. He's pretty quick. He escapes pressure pretty well. He doesn't have a huge arm. You know, that's the thing that listening to them talk about the quarterbacks during throwing drills. Eason threw a 62-mile-an-hour fastball with the football. I don't know if people have any frame of reference as to that.
Hey, I'm a football guy, and I don't have a real frame of reference on it.
When I played, one of my strengths would be what? What would you say when I was playing? If you were dating back to my career, was what?
The strong arm.
I could
put it in a spot.
I could throw a ball. I could make all the throws and throw off balance and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, at one point I threw a ball right at 70 yards was as farthest that I could throw it.
Yeah.
68-70. And I threw in prep for the fastest one I ever threw on a gun like that was 56.
Yeah.
Flacco was a 55, 56 guy. And he's got a cannon.
Yeah.
Okay. Eason threw a 62-mile-an-hour football. That's the equivalent of about a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got an absolute cannon. I don't know what Stafford threw. I'll look it up at the break. But cannon kind of arm. And I think that that's one thing that you can't ignore. If you can teach him where to throw the football, then there are no physical limitations with Eason. Now he'll probably get picked first.
656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Coming up in hour number two, which power that has fallen on hard times that has just started their rebuild is most likely to come back first? We'll take a look at that. An Alabama player in the transfer portal for the third time.
Scooby's
got some issues. He probably needs some Scooby snacks. And Jerry Jones talking about dreaming in the shower. All of that and more coming up at hour number two of the Eric Haines Show, live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. Right now, they will triple the factory rebates on all new Kias right here at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, home of the 200,000-mile warranty. Come see us. Come see them. Callahan Drive and I-75 right across from UPS. It's FM 99.1, the sports animal.